Blog Talk Radio.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand, this land with me, and walk this lovely land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be strong.
Oh, good evening. Welcome to Yada Yada Radio. We've got Kirk here with us. I'm Craig. We're going to pick up where we left off a week ago on this program. For those who also listen to the Observations program, it has been posted. I know on BB's site, he has actually put together the URL. It's a YouTube URL for that program, today's program, where we continued our discussion on the unreliable nature of the Christian scriptures. So that is available. And I would like to begin, though, with a little bit of a review of where we were last week. And Kirk, what we determined, and you've spent a lot of time studying these two statements, is that there is no chance whatsoever that they apply to Yosha.
No.
It's not a question of, you know, do they apply to Yosha and Dode. You know, Yosha would be the actual name of the individual that Christians call Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And this is the single most important, what they would call the Old Testament or prophetic statement regarding their Jesus Christ. Here he is being born, and it suggests that he is not only born, which is an odd concept for God. I don't know how God can be born, but nonetheless, they don't bother to think that one through. That he is Almighty God, that he is the Prince of Peace, that he, the government's on his shoulder. And so, you know, they're of the belief that he's the end-all of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, not a single statement in there applies to him.
That's right.
And you read it and say, oh, man, if that doesn't apply to him, Christianity's through. But it's far worse than that, because the person it does apply to, Dode, who the world knows as David, Dode is the antidote for Christianity. He's the proof text against the religion. If Dode, no Paul. It's just that simple. Dode's life and relationship with Yahweh is in every possible conceivable way the antithesis of what Paul wrote. He violated the Torah in all manner of ways, and yet God viewed him as perfect. His entire life was devoted to writing lyrics, writing prose about the benefits of the Torah, how to observe the Torah, how to engage in a relationship with Yahweh, how to enjoy being part of God's family. So it is just a stunningly deadly concept for Christianity. Because it demonstrates you don't need any stinking New Testament. The Torah is perfectly capable of saving, perfectly capable of allowing somebody to enter heaven. It explains how it should be observed and capitalized upon.
So well, the Torah declares itself to be that way. So either Yahweh's lying or he's not, or he's telling the truth.
So that's vastly worse than it just not being about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The very fact that it's about Dod.
Yeah,
and there's some other aspects of this that are really troubling for Christianity, which is, A, there was no virgin birth. B, God cannot and was not born. The Son was not Almighty God. That's not what it says. The government was never on his shoulder and will never be on his shoulder.
No.
He wasn't a prince of anything, and he did not come to bring peace. Came to bring division.
With a sword to divide families, even.
Right, yeah. I'm here to cut, to separate. I'm not here to bring peace. And what he talked about is, of course, the separation between father and son, mother and daughter, even husband and wife. The realization that if you want to be part of the covenant, you have to be willing to walk away from the human family to be part of God's family. That doesn't mean, you know, that you need to separate yourself from your sons. You know, now in my case, I had to separate myself from my mother and father. They were all the things that God would view as being inappropriate. But you know, I have a wonderful relationship with my sons and with our granddaughter. And so that's not what it's suggesting is. But do you want to be part of the family of God or part of the family of man? That's what it's suggesting. But anyway, the statements, Kirk, are just devastating. It's not only that it can't be Jesus Christ, but what it actually says is what's so revealing it. And I would say the third aspect of it is that virtually every Christian Bible parrots the same mistakes.
Yes.
And they know their mistakes. They know what they have written is untrue, and they have all said the same thing. You know, I searched 20 different translations for every comment, and I only found one or two comments of the first seven that were remotely accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So now what you have is this mess of you can't trust your translations. How are you supposed to know God if the people providing you access to his word are misrepresenting his words?
You know, I looked up the same things, and that's true. And I also looked up, you know, sometimes some of the Bibles have the cross references, like on this verse, Matthew. So on this particular verse, it's Matthew, which begins where he's misquoted because he's talking about, behold, a virgin comes with a child. And then you look over, and then I checked on and say, well, the word's still Ben, son. So I looked it up. It's 1,282 times it's mentioned in the Torah, and none of them are virgins.
Right.
They're all human beings. And then you go, the other references they give you is Luke, which is a disreputable source to begin with, but 132 and 33.
Hearsay at best.
Yeah, hearsay. And then you have John, which is not even related. It's very loosely related.
Yeah, John doesn't even talk about Yahu Khanna doesn't even talk about these.
That's right. I mean, they threw him in there for some reason, but it's not. It has nothing to do with this particular verse. But
nothing.
Uh-huh. There. And then the other one, the slam dunk, of course, for them is the Hebrews. But, you know, it says, but this man, because he's continueth forever, an old English Shakespearean, has an unchangeable priesthood, and that's about the only reference, and they try to connect that up, and I'm going,
but, you know, how can they suggest that he was continueth forever, which is my Elizabethan, since they claim that, A, he was born, so if you were continueth forever, you can't be born, because that means you didn't continueth forever beyond that, and if your whole thing is the death stake and God nailed dead to a stick,
yeah.
Well, then he didn't continue it forever, did he?
No. And that's not
and the great hiccup.
And he wasn't a priest, so, I mean.
No, he wasn't a priest. He was not a Lowy.
No, so.
Wrong. You know, it's just like he when they say that he was the prince of BC. He wasn't a prince.
He was never a prince.
No, never a prince. And he absolutely made it positively clear. It's the one thing that's repeated probably more than any other statement from him is, do not think that I came to bring peace. I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring division. But that's really what he's all about. That's what God's all about, is separation.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be separated from the family of man if you want to be part of the family of God. That's why it's called that apart. So let's begin. We'll go through the first seven just as a reminder of where we have been. It begins, and you know, these are amplified renderings. And I want our listeners to know that each word conveys more information than simply, for example, the first is key, and it means a lot more than four. So let's, and in this particular case, some of its amplified meanings are particularly germane. For indeed, because truly and surely, emphasizing this statement, and to show a contrast with what has come before, while conveying causation to reveal the reason he exists, while also demonstrating how these things may appear simultaneous, even to overlap, while in actuality they transpire. Now, one of the reasons that's really important is that the first seven references to this individual took place right around 1000 BCE. The second set of seven references to this individual take place in 2033 CE, 3,000 years later.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important to recognize that the statements which precede this are Yahweh's description of what's going to happen on Har-Megiddo, which is the secular humanist war against
Israel.
Yeah, and what he says, he's going to annihilate the combatants just like he did on the day of Maiden.
Gideon.
Midian's, M-A-Y.
M-A-D-Y-N
in Hebrew, but they're called the Midianites in English.
Right.
So that's what precedes this is a reference, corporum, and 2033. So that's why that four, you need to understand that it is presenting things that may appear to be simultaneous, even to overlap, while in actuality they transpire in an entirely different time. Okay, I'm going to give you each of the first seven. The first one is a child. An ordinary boy who grows up to become a young man was born. He was conceived and brought forth through a woman impregnated by his father, arriving among us and near us. Two, a son, a male descendant, the offspring of a mother and father, was provided and placed near us for a limited period of time. He was given for our benefit and was appointed and bestowed for us, and he was devoted to facilitating our approach. You know, you notice that in both of these cases, I used past in English was.
Yes.
Which, and you know, the Hebrew does not have past or future tenses.
Mm-hmm.
And so, why did you have any recollection as to why I'm not using? Because you know, in English, we have no choice. We do not have a tenses like Hebrew, where things are just true throughout time. And we don't have a concept in Hebrew called the perfect or imperfect. Imperfect, mm-hmm. ongoing, perfect, mm-hmm. Concluded, a finite period of time. Do you have any idea why I made both of these past tense as opposed to present tense or future tense?
Where you are in the context of of this event. I mean, this is taking place in 1000 BC.
Both verbs. Yalad verb on born, and Nathan the verb on place before. Both verbs were written in the perfect conjugation, which speaks of a completed action. A completed action cannot be in the present. Because the very fact you're talking about in the present means that it's ongoing. So when the English translations say, is born and is given, sorry, the perfect. Now, is it possible to have a completed action in the future? Yes, it is. But it is very odd to write it that way and to use the perfect to speak about the future. But more importantly, if speaking about the future, whether it be Eosha or Dode, since at that point they are eternal beings, you would never have used the perfect, ever.
Mm-hmm. Makes
sense. At that point, they're ongoing forever. But so it was written in the perfect. That's why it was and was. And this was written
years, as they normally write it, yeah.
Right. This was written right around 700 BCE. Dode had been. Eosha had not. So the very fact it's written in the perfect is part of the issue here. But, of course, the biggest issue is you could not have a more generic a child is born than Yeled Yalad. Doesn't get any more generic than that. This is not a virgin birth. There is nothing special.
And, I didn't want you to make you raise your eyebrows if you were reading it.
No. Yeah, and as you pointed out, son is used thousands of times, and so is Nathan, the Hebrew word for to give, to place, to put, to bestow.
Right.
And there's nothing miraculous about it either. And by the way, let me just point out something that should be obvious, since this does speak about God. It doesn't call him Almighty God, but nonetheless does speak about God in the grave. But it does speak about a father and his enduring, everlasting nature. If, in fact, he is everlasting, he can't have been born.
That's true.
It's just impossible. So you have an eternal conflict. Okay, number three. So then, with regard to the person being written about, the means to engage and endure, to be empowered and liberated, should we desire to learn from his mindset, was, is, and shall always exist as part of the continued succession of events which transpired upon his ridgeline and in conjunction with his repetitive work. The eagerness to which he pursued his calling early in his life and the passion to shoulder and not shirk responsibility. His designation, reputation, and renown was read, recited, and designated as, and should be invited and summoned as, called out and welcomed as, and should be known and reckoned as. Now, there's two things
in that it read me is,
okay, go ahead.
First of all, this repetitive work, you know, when Yosha was not a repetitive work, his work was, he had one real serious job to do, and that's Pesach.
Yeah.
That's not Pesach. Repetitive, that was done once.
Yeah, and his soul, Masa.
Right. Well, I mean that event of Masa Week, you know, from and then you when you translated it as designated reputation and signed in code, those works been read for 3,000 years. Yoshi, we can't even find any reputable source that we could hang our head on. So,
And you know, we're really told about Yoshi's fulfillment of Pesach, Masa, and Bukurim once.
Yeah.
You know, we're not told about the events where he celebrated Pesach, because he would have celebrated Pesach 33 times.
Absolutely.
Matzah 33 times. Bukurim 33 times. We're told about one of them. It's not because he didn't celebrate the other 33. It's because he came
for the
one.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it's how he observed them that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the fact of the matter is that what this was presented was from Masara. And the words only used here in Yashaya 6 and in 7, very twice, both times here in this one prophecy. And so you have to render it correctly. And while the government was on, I can't say it was on Dode's shoulder, he didn't shoulder the government, but while Dode certainly was the head of the government. The ocean never was. So if, you know, if a Christian wants to render this based upon religious tradition as government, then it's over for the Jesus cult.
Mm-hmm.
Because the government was never on his shoulder. And as a matter of fact, the government, which was Rome, crucified him.
Was definitely not involved with him.
Yeah, when they talk about the Roman government, he said, you know, give unto Rome that which is Rome's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, it's definitely cannot be Yosha in this regard. And the actual word is based upon Sarah, and it's prefaced by me, which is an interrogative that encourages you to ponder and to search the meaning of Sarah, which is to engage, to endure, to be liberated, and to learn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, that was Dode's life, providing us with 100 Mizmor Psalms and 25 Proverbs, Mishnah Proverbs, so that we could learn how to engage and endure with God from his mindset.
Now, why is it when they hit Mizmor they do that and they go to government when it immediately tells you in every lexicon go to Sarah?
Oh, yeah. Every lexicon tells you to go to Sarah. And then if you're familiar with Hebrew, you know that the ma and the mi preface to a lot of words, like one of the most important words in the Torah prophecy, Psalm, is mikra.
Right.
It's prefaced the same way that Misera is prefaced. Misera is the mi of me, just as mikra is. It's based on kara, and it adds the mi, so it tells you to ponder the implications of the invitations to be called out and meet with God, just as this one says, I want you to think about everything that you can learn about Sarah, about engaging and enduring, being liberated by and being empowered by God. So that's the... It's so obvious that that is the case. And it's so obvious that it can't be government because, A, past tense, now looking forward from this prophecy, but past tense from our perspective in time,
mm-hmm.
the government most certainly was not on Yosha's shoulder. First of all, you cannot shoulder a government, but second of all, the government in play was Rome, and it crucified him. And second, the follow-up prophecy on 9-7 in Yashaya tells us for certain that the seat of honor and the government is Dode's, David's.
No.
So in the future, it isn't even Yosha's. So for them to have written this says that they were not thinking. And for Christians to parrot it says that they're not thinking. Now beyond that, shakam, which is the word that was a rendered shoulder,
mm-hmm.
you know, unlike Misera, where you just can't get government out of it,
mm-hmm.
with shakam, you can absolutely get shoulder out of it. Except shakam has a lot of meanings, and shoulder is only one of many meanings of the word. And shoulder doesn't work relative to government. You can shoulder a burden, one does not shoulder a government. You know, if you're ahead of the government, it is an asset, not a liability. Particularly if you're a potentate. If you're king, the government is your source of power and wealth and liberty and control. It's not a burden to be shouldered if you're king. So you cannot, just because a word can be translated shoulder doesn't mean that you should or can translate a shoulder. In this context, it doesn't work. But if you think, what was the most important aspect of Dode's life relative to Yahweh? The ridgeline of Moriah.
Mm-hmm.
It's where he not only built his home, but that's where he established the capital of Yehuda. It's
right.
Where he bought the threshing floor of the Jebusite, Yabusi. Mm-hmm. It's where the house of Yahweh was built. It's where Yosha fulfilled Pesach. It's where Abraham met with Yahweh to affirm the covenant. It's that ridgeline that is essential. It's where Yahweh's coming back. It's where he's going to establish his home. So when you realize that it can be translated ridgeline, and that ridgeline is just so stunningly important to engaging and enduring with God, being empowered and liberated by him, because everything that matters took place on that ridgeline, why would you render it shoulder? I mean, there's no place more important than that ridgeline. That is Zion. It's Moriah.
Well, you could add responsibility to lead and teach. If you look at the letters, you've got words that, because you have the sin.
Words. Nourishing words.
So you have nourishing words with a helping hand to restore by cleansing water, if you wish, or Ruach Kodesh.
Yeah.
So everything
the open hand is the sign of handing somebody a gift, offering something to someone is the, because there's two hands in the Hebrew language. The yod is one of them, the y and the k is the other. And in this case, this is the palm of a hand open, which is the sign of I'm holding out a gift for you.
Yeah,
giving you something.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other ones I'm pulling out because I want you to grab hold so I can lift you up, so we can walk hand in hand. But this one is I'm offering something to you. You know, cleansing waters, nourishing words.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being offered. So the next is Shem, and again it's just like Shechem, just because Shechem can be in certain places translated shoulder doesn't mean you can translate shoulder every place. Same thing is with Shem. Just because Shem can be translated name doesn't mean that you can translate it name every place. And this is one of those places where you can't translate it name. It's one of the places where there isn't a single name that follows. So there's no name that follows.
Make it complicated.
It's not so complicated. And what is Shem? So you have to look. What else does Shem mean? Well, it means reputation, renown.
Name and
okay.
renown, yeah.
So his designation, his reputation, his renown shall be read and recited, designated, invited and summoned, was called out and welcomed as, known and reckoned as. All right. So each of these next things, this is now 4, 5, 6, and 7. We have, we're in Hebrew, where modifiers follow the nouns, so we have to, but in English, modifiers precede the nouns. You know, it's, in English, it may be wonderful counselor, but in Hebrew, it would be counsel wonderful.
Uh-huh.
So tricky. You're right. You need to put them in the right order. So, this is a counselor. So, this person is going to be known as a counselor providing outstandingly brilliant advice, a consultant who offers directions and thought-provoking guidance for us to deliberate, which are extraordinarily insightful, an analyst who proposes the agenda and reveals the purpose of the marvelous plan which sets us apart, an advisor and mentor who speaks out and urges those who listen to follow the directions and thinking he is presenting because it's reasonable, valuable, wonderful, empowering, and it's prophetic. This is talking about a person.
Mm-hmm.
Not talking about God. Now, the person is talking about God. The person's counsel is valuable and wonderful and beneficial, insightful, because they're providing advice on God. But that is what the Dode is, the single most proficient person in the history of mankind is doing.
Yeah.
If you want to know why Yahweh viewed Dode as his beloved son, it's because he was the counselor providing astoundingly brilliant advice about the thing that God cared the most about, which was his covenant and Torah.
Well, now, I think when you say that, and I look at that and think about it a minute, you've got Yahusha says some marvelous things, but only said them to the select crowd. He really didn't want everybody to know.
Well, actually,
that's the only reason I can go.
Two things. One is that it would be very difficult to view what's called the Sermon on the Mount as a counsel. Sermon on the Mount is a lecture.
Yeah, that's just like a warning. This is what you
that
is, do.
Man, that is a lecture. I'm just going to lay it all out here for you, folks.
Yeah.
And obviously Christians don't understand, they don't get it, but that was a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
It was his life's yeah. dissertation. Here's what I'm going to do, here's why I'm going to do it, and this is the way you should interpret it. And when he spoke of a counselor, he specifically said, I'm not the counselor. You'll recognize the counselor because we have a lot in common, but I have to leave for the counselor to come.
Mm-hmm.
So, why could the Unipart Spirit was upon him at that point, returning to him post-Pakutum. And so he said, you know, I got to leave for the counselor to come. So he couldn't be the counselor. Just read your own text, Christian. Was famous then. Okay, number five. Mm-hmm. It's Gibor El. It cannot be Almighty God. Almighty God would be El-El or All-El or El-All.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That would be Almighty God. Or just El by itself means Almighty God. But Gibor speaks of a person. And there isn't any one of the lexicons that doesn't know that. They all know that.
No, I've got three or four sentences from different lexicons. Yes, that's exactly what it says. It doesn't change anything. It's exactly what it says. Mighty one on earth, valiant.
Right.
You know, strong, mighty person.
Hey, you know, the Nephilim?
Yeah, we talked about it in great detail when we used limited Nephilim.
Right, and the Nephilim are Gibor. David, Dod, was Gibor.
Yes, he was a mighty man.
He was a soldier. Mighty man. What a champion! And he wasn't a Gabor in every aspect of his life, but he was a warrior.
Yeah,
he was head of the government.
He walked down there with his stones in his slingshot. He was
right, courageous, and he was a champion on behalf of God. So when he used Gabor, he's not speaking. This is not a modifier of God. It's a descriptive of an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Who speaks about God. So it now becomes a valiant and heroic individual with a prominent standing in the community of God, a powerful and courageous person who prevails on behalf of the Almighty, a champion confirming the influence and strengthening nature of the Mighty One. That's what they go
with. What is that written in? Is that written in like the Hippo Perfect or the Hippo Imperfect?
Well, no, these are not. There's no verb here. This isn't a verb.
Okay.
This is a noun. In fact, it's actually two nouns.
I'm sorry, I was looking at the ball.
But often in Hebrew, you have nouns that serve as modifiers.
Yeah,
it's a modifying noun. But this is two nouns. L is a title. And Gibor is a noun. Gibor is a noun that describes this individual. So there's the hiful and the like, that would be a verb. No, these are just two nouns.
Okay. No, it was my error. I'm looking at my notes here, and I can't read my notes where it says Gibor, and then it has the verb of Gibor.
The verbal form of it is Gibor.
Mm-hmm.
But it was written as a noun. Number six. An eternal witness providing restoring and elevating testimony, sharing evidence which is enduring, conveying information regarding the perpetual and continued existence of the Father. Well, there's no question that Ab is Father. They got that part right. That's all Ab means. In fact, if you were to try to amplify Ab, good luck. Yeah. What is there besides Father? I mean, you want to go into Daddy, Papa, Dad? Male progenitor of the family. I mean, Ab means father. That's all it means. Now, the what we figured out the last time is you have is either Ad or Ed, and I've written exactly the same way in the Hebrew text. If it's Ad, it's a preposition. It would mean until father. The most common rendering of the preposition wouldn't be eternal father. It would be until father. near father, almost father. But as Ed, which is written, Ed would be the noun. It would follow the same concept here. It wouldn't be a preposition. It would be, in fact, a noun, two nouns, one descriptive of the other. It would be describing Doe's role in relationship with the father, which was Ed is to provide eternal and restoring testimony. Ed is a witness sharing evidence, which is enduring, conveying information regarding that which is perpetual, continued, renewing. So he's the eternal witness providing restoring and everlasting testimony regarding the Father. Again, perfectly phrased statements, all of which point to Dode. Number 7, the one who conveys and represents the official position, the authorized and endorsed patron who acts and delivers the sanctioned means to prevail regarding reconciliation and restoration, salvation and companionship, restitution and redemption, peace and prosperity, salvation and favor, an association based upon mutual affection and friendship, delivering healthy and prosperous contentment and tranquility. So, all of those wonderful things, from reconciliation to restoration to salvation to companionship, that's all from shalom.
Shalom.
Now to call shalom, just to render it peace, as we talked about, is like saying of the Torah, well, it's nice.
Well, that's nice.
That's nice.
That's a nice.
That's a nice.
Always say it.
Shalom is the basis of the city of Yerushalom.
Yerushalom.
Yaru means Yaru is the verbal root of Torah. It means source of teaching, guidance, direction. Yara, and Shalom is reconciliation, restitution. If you reconcile a relationship, you got peace in it. But you got to be really careful about it, what you're getting it fully rendered in. And Sar is a word that, speaks of an official position, an authorized endorsement, a patron, all of these things. And Dode was all those things. Yosha was not.
If I have any value to this show, the one thing that perhaps the only little strength I have in this regard is I've looked every one of these things up, and even though I get twisted sometimes as we're talking, I'm looking at it, it's because I'm reading your stuff and trying to look on my notes, which I obviously didn't write well enough to. But everything you said, if somebody wanted to debate this, it's all there. I mean, and I'm using some of the most common sources that anyone could use, and I do it pretty much on purpose. I have a few other things that I can go check further, but most of it is so straightforward that anyone who looked in most of the lexicons that you list, which everyone has, I don't care from Strong's to whomever, that's exactly what it says. All you have to do is take time and put it down.
Yeah. Now, you do have to spend a little time, Kirk. You can't just pick the first thing up and run with it because
if you have perspective to begin with and you know what the context is, then you should be able to flesh it out.
You'll find everlasting and eternal, but it's only to justify the translation. Then when you read the rest of it, you say, well, it's a preposition. It means, until. And then if you look at, what other words, since he's not the preposition, father, what other words are written with the same letter? So it does take some time. It's all really accessible, but it takes some time to get there. You've got to have a filter.
You have to have the right perspective. And I've got from one source, the eternal witness, perpetuity, during a lifetime of a king, witness testimony. From Adal, and it goes on and on and on. It's just it's there. So it's not like you're throwing something a loop that is hard to find. It's rare. It takes time to find it, but
It's one of the reasons we accompany this with commentary. People mm-hmm. know, okay, here's the way that you go about the process of trying to figure out what the words mean and how they should be translated. And yeah, for example, shoulder is right, but it's wrong in this context.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to walk people through so they have some understanding. Because I don't think most people are accustomed to questioning these kinds of things. And if you're not willing to question these kind of things, you just aren't going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to be willing to question them. You've got to be able to think rationally. Yeah. You have to be able to think, okay, I know yet what Yao is like. I know what he thinks, what he said. Therefore, let's make certain that we render this in a manner that's consistent with who he is based upon the words that were chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's nothing difficult about it, but you can't say that it's easy either, because it does take some time and it does take some discipline and it takes work.
Mm-hmm.
And how many days did you spend just on these two passages?
Oh, God, now it's about 4 days.
Yeah.
Checking, rechecking, so or as much time as I had in those days, and sometimes it was pretty late to the night. So, only because I write slow and I compute even slower.
Well, because if in fact these conclusions are correct, Kirk,
yeah,
it's the ultimate nail in the coffin of Christianity,
yeah,
and it's the ultimate affirmation that we have been right all along when we said, you know, your attention ought to be focused on Dode. He's the son. Born, he's the son who was placed before us. That's why Yahweh called him. He is my beloved son, and I am his father. All right, so after the one who conveys and represents the official position on reconciliation, we read, tremendously increasing the ability to learn about and appropriately respond to the means to engage and endure, acting upon the capacity to be liberated. Now, the English translations all want to take lamb and pretend that lamb is really key, K-Y.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. I mean, we've got the great Isaiah scroll. We've got the Masoretic text. They all say the word there is not key. Key could be for.
Mm-hmm.
It would be shortchanging it. But lamb can't be for. Lamb is a contraction of an extraordinarily commonly used and important verb, lamad. And you don't have to look very far to find lamad. I mean, I'm sure when you were checking up lamb, did you stumble upon lamad, looking for the verbal root?
Mm-hmm.
And lamad isn't just the Hebrew word for teach, because I think there are, like, 12 or something? Isn't that about the right number of Hebrew words for teach?
I'm pretty sure. I'd have to. I could probably dig it up fairly quickly.
But there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that are the Hebrew word. There's a lot of Hebrew words for teach. So there are 12. That's the actual number. 12 different words for teaching in Hebrew. Yeah. So when you realize that there's 12 words for teach, well, for example, yara, the basis of Torah.
Mm-hmm.
The Hebrew word for teach. You have to look up, well, how do they differ? Why would you have, it's like Eskimos. I mean, Eskimos, as I understand it, in their language, they have a dozen words for snow. It's like a pilot. We talk about different kinds of ice, clear ice, rime ice, on the on an airframe. It describes the consistency of that ice, because it's a huge difference in how it's going to affect the airfoil and the airframe. And so we strive to define it as opposed to just have ice. And Eskimos have, you know, a dozen different words for snow. Well, there's nothing more important to Yahweh than teaching. His Torah means to teach. So he has 12 different words to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And so each of them has a different shading. Like, for example, he didn't say of Dode that he was the Yara, which is the source of teaching, guidance, and direction. Because he's not the source. Yara was the source.
Yara was the source.
Right. So he is not the source.
The Torah is the source.
Right. Yeah. So it says that he's Lam from Lamad. Well, what is Lamad? Lamad is to learn and then teach what you learn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the process of first becoming, like the Greek concept is disciple. Disciple is a learner who then helps others learn.
Mm-hmm.
What Lamad says is that Dode studied the Torah and came to learn about God, and then through his Psalms and Proverbs, shared what he learned. That's what we're doing. I think we're playing an extremely important role, and Yahweh seems to acknowledge it through Yashaya. But there is nothing, Kirk, not anything that we have come up with or have come to know or have shared that wasn't available to everyone the world over. Nothing. 100% of what we've come to know and share, we learn by reading the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. By coming to understand what was in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, thinking about it, and then forming conclusions based upon what we had learned. There is nothing of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of unique and profound insights that we have published over this last 15 years. There's nothing that wasn't available to everyone. Well, Dode studied the Torah. And he reported on the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
He learned the Torah. He taught the Torah. That's what we are doing. We learn the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. We have more than he did. We have Torah, prophets, and Psalms. He wrote the Psalms, so all he had was the Torah. But we studied it.
Mm-hmm.
And we came to know
analyzed it,
understand it, analyze it, and then shared what we have learned. That's what Dode is doing. That's what Lamad means. So, Lam is the contracted form of Lamed, which means to learn and then teach. As is the case with Rab, which was also in this particular text, it says Rab Lam. Rab is tremendously, abundantly, greatly, extensively, plentifully, to the greatest extent possible. But did anybody provide more teaching than Dode?
Name one.
No, but the only person you could could be put in the same sentence with Dode would be Moshe.
Yeah, but he took the dictation and just read the dictation.
In the Torah, the first four books of the Torah are dictation.
That's true. It's,
but Devarim, the last book, is in fact Moshe saying, these are the things that I think are the most important. This is what they mean. I want to reinforce them so you remember them. I want you to apply them to your life. And so, there's a book, Dabarim.
Yeah.
A really important book. It's not shortchanged the fact that Moshe is one awesomely important. He's the one person you can put in the same sentence with him. But, the book of Dabarim is a far cry from 100 Psalms, 25 Proverbs. I mean, you've got one of the Psalms by itself that is the 119th, that is 22 stanzas of 8 points each, going through the Hebrew alphabet, all 22 letters in alphabetical order, to explain how to observe and benefit from the Torah.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, Bodiam is a tremendous book. I loved Bodiam. But the 119th Psalm, more powerful. Because there's nothing in the Bodiam that isn't in the first four books.
Four. Yeah.
But in terms of telling you how to observe the Torah and capitalize upon it such that God would say to you that you are what Dode was, righteous, perfect, my beloved, well, then you want to turn to the 119th Psalm, and that's just one of 100 psalms he wrote.
Well, then you have all the story of his life, which is a teaching instrument in itself.
Correct. Yeah, as they reflected in the two volumes of Samuel, Words for Our Day and the Chronicles, Rulers, Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Samuel. And then I don't think there's anybody who's mentioned more often throughout the prophets than Tod.
No, it's here.
Yeah, he's the only name that's mentioned, by the way, in this prophecy.
In this whole passage, yeah.
Yeah, in this prophecy, he's the one name that's mentioned. So if you're looking for who it is, well, if they give you one name.
A good clue.
Yeah, there's a heck of a clue. So, tremendously increasing the ability to learn about something and respond appropriately to it. And what is it again? It's Ha Misra again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you think that God is telling you, boy, this is your tremendous opportunity to increase your knowledge about government. Wasn't it about Dode's predecessor that God broke into a lecture and said, listen, if they want a government of men, then they're rejecting me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just make it. You don't need to know anything more than this. If they want a government of men, they're rejecting me. So do you think that God's going to say, I'm going to provide you with some really wonderful, enduring insights about his teaching about government?
Yeah, well, he did in Samuel. He says, that's what you're going to
think. But it was all negative.
Absolutely. About 12 times.
Absolutely. Yeah, so preceding Dod, Yahweh said, government is out to rob you. It's out to control you. Out to turn your sons into soldiers, out to take your production and money, turns it into weapons, all that will serve them, and then they're going to prop themselves up by bribing those around them. But it's that trial of the senator that ended up hung the Democrat senator that ended up with a hung jury. And he's all excited because he says, oh, yeah, that means that I have been exonerated. No, it doesn't mean he's been exonerated. If you read what that man was guilty of doing and who he worked with, make your toes curl.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy that bribed him is in jail for tens of millions of dollars of welfare fraud. And this guy was offered every manner of gift for getting the government to back off him and let him continue to perpetrate his fraud. So it just is revolting. That's the nature of government.
Yeah.
So this one is pretty straightforward, and it validates that Ha Misra is not the government. Tremendously increasing the ability to learn and appropriately respond to the means to engage and endure, acting upon the capacity to be liberated and empowered. That's what Dode's life. Now, what's interesting, of course, here is that if you look at the English Bible translations, and particularly, they all rendered Lam Ra Ha Misra for the increase in his government. Now, how could you say for the increase in his government when Dode's government didn't?
He's not talking about a government.
It started off as Yisrael. It ended up as Yisrael. That's just the fact of the matter is. And that's the last thing God would want to increase is the government. But yet, the English Standard Version, the King James Bible, the King James 2000 Bible, the American King James Version, the New Heart English Bible, the American Standard Version, the Darby Bible Translation, the English Revised Version, the English, the Word English Bible, and Webster's Bible all rendered it for the increase of his government. Others were wrong in different ways. The New International Version went with of the greatness of his government. Of the New Living Translation, the NILT, published, his government and its peace will never end. Wait, where did they get that? No reference to peace here. The New American Standard Bible offered, there will be no end to the increase of his government. The Holman Christian Standard Bible authored, the dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will bring immeasurable prosperity. Although its prosperity will never end, excuse me. It's probably skipped a lot. So its dominion will be vast, and its prosperity will never end. It's not what the words say. Well, the Net Bible suggests that his dominion will be vast, and he will bring immeasurable prosperity. To this mix, the International Standard Version proposed of the growth of his government, and God's Word translation composed, his government and peace will have unlimited growth. No word for growth there. Nor unlimited. Nor, in this case, peace. There's no shalom here. It's just bad stuff. Loving a big crowd, the Jubilee Bible 2000 proposed, the multitude of his dominion and the peace shall have no end. Well, if it's big, if it's got a multitude, it ain't part of God's world. Catholics craving a return to the holy days of the Holy Roman Empire. In their Douay-Rheims Bible, actually had the audacity to write, his empire shall be multiplied. His empire shall be multiplied. Last and less, and at least the misnomer called the Young's Literal Translation gave us, to the increase of the princely power. Well, at least they saw the Tsar. And
at least the leader.
Miss Sara, yeah. Okay. The alternative is to learn from the best, who would be Dode, tremendously increasing the ability to learn about and, to the largest extent possible, appropriately respond to the means to engage, providing an abundance of information while imparting outstanding instruction. Learned as a student, teaching how to become familiar with the guidance needed to accept the provision, to endure, acting upon the means to be liberated, diligently studying, and then explaining the particular pattern of behavior associated with the who, what, why, and how, associated with the capacity to be persistent and persevere, growing on a scale of spatial dimensions as a disciple, eager to learn from the one taught by the best, who received extensive, clear, and compelling revelations, which prepared him to intelligently convey the mindset needed to probe and question the means to awe-inspiring enlightenment and enormous empowerment. Every time I read one of Dode's Psalms, I probably don't get all of that in my mind, but that picture I have.
Yeah.
When I read one of Dode's Psalms, it's just what this conveys.
But at some point when we have an 8,000 or 9,000 word vocabulary in Hebrew instead of 490,000 English words, we'll get it real quick. But this that's what you almost say. You have to say that much in order to get the whole gestalt, I think.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, having done this now 8 to 10 hours a day, 6 days a week for 15-16 years.
Yeah, this gradually, flashes for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, gradually I'm beginning to think in Hebrew. Gradually. It's a slow process, but you're really getting close when you start thinking in Hebrew, when you start thinking about the presentation of what it means to be perfect or imperfect in the conjugation relative to time and ongoing behaviors, or what the various stems do relationally as they affect the relation between the subject and the object, and the volitional moods, and then just these very concrete, as you call them, very concrete terms. And so after a while, you do it enough, you begin to think in Hebrew, and then all you're trying to do now is, once you think in Hebrew, you're trying to convey it in a language that the world speaks, which would be English. So we're attempting to understand the message in Hebrew and convey it to the
greatest ability we
have. Yeah, in English. Yeah. So it continues. so now, as a result, wa is and so. Then adding these things together collectively. As a result, la, therefore, and accordingly, facilitating our approach. Preposition, again, it means to approach, to come near. Reconciliation, restoration, and complete satisfaction. Guess what appeared again? Shalom.
Shalom.
Yeah, again, you know, to render shalom peace is not inaccurate. It's inadequate.
It's too small.
Yeah, it's like saying, well, can you tell me about the Torah? Well, it's nice. Well, it is nice.
Just a...
So, as a result, reconciliation, restoration, complete satisfaction, shalom, the blessings of an entirely favorable circumstance and total contentment, overwhelming prosperity and affection, tranquility and companionship, safety and salvation. Shalom is a relationship term on steroids. Deliverance from all pestilence and from the plague of death in a healthy and satisfying relationship. Now we have our without end. On kutz, never cease, cannot be negated, are unbounded and limitless. Where? Before the throne and upon the seat of honor, al kesei, in association with the high status and the dignified and empowered garment, the source of power adorning and covering the royal authority of Dod, the beloved. Now, is there any chance that that when it says of Dod, that it really that they God had
something
a senior moment and he really meant to say of Jesus?
Yeah, no, Yah doesn't have a senior moment.
No.
I have a lot of
them. Is there any chance that those dastardly Jews after the event changed this to write Jesus out and write David N? No, because we've got copies of this that date back to past 200 BC.
Way before them, yeah.
Right.
With takeover.
And by the way, guess who didn't have a throne? And guess who did?
Yahusha didn't, Dod did.
Correct. And therefore, as a result, reconciliation, restoration, complete satisfaction are without end throne and the seat of honor of Dod. Now, you know, when I think of Kesei means throne, but it also means seat of honor. But you know, Kesei also means it's an empowering garment.
Yes.
Yeah, to wear, to cover. To adorn.
I have it right here. Yes, it does.
Yeah. Kesei means all of those things. So Yah not just limit it to seat of honor when there is something in association with the Spirit and Yahweh and Dod that helps us transition mortality to immortality, which is being adorned in the garments, the set apart spirits, garment of light. Now, the seat of honor.
Mm-hmm.
Throne. Do you think that Yahweh preserved? I don't even know if he had one. Let's just say that Dod really had a throne.
Okay.
Well, let's pretend like he really had one.
Okay.
Do you think Yahweh preserved Dod's throne?
No.
No.
Because you have the thing in with the seat of honor.
Is there a seat of honor and throne that we know is exceedingly important to Yahweh that we know for certain that he has preserved?
Yes, we do. Ark of the Covenant.
We have it, don't we? Yeah, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is a seat, ladies and gentlemen. It is a seat. It has arms, sides, and a back. And the back are seraphim.
Cherubs.
Wings.
Yeah.
Gold, yeah, which shows that, you know, you're going to become, like, sit on this seat and you get wings, you know, you become a spiritual entity. You're no longer limited by the physical limitations of gravity. And feet, man, you get wings, golden wings.
It's a deal.
Well, and you sit on this seat, you're forgiven. This is the seat of Pesach and Matzah and Bikurim. This is the seat that, inside of the seat are the the tablets, the two tablets with the ten statements. Beside this seat is the Torah.
Okay, that just explains. That just explains. And when I look at Pesach, you know, it's like Numbers 36:78. Right next to it, 36:77 said a full moon relating to appointed times and festivals.
Yeah.
So when you just said that, that tied all that in together.
Yeah, and the full moon is
kind of
when Pesach and Matzah and Bikurim are always in
the
full moon, aren't they?
I assumed that.
The 14th day of the month, starting at sundown on the 13th day, is a full moon. But the center, the brightest part of the full moon, because the cycle is 29 and a half days, would be at between the 14th and 15th day. So you're dealing with Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. The full moon, encompasses Kesach, Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. But guess what else is at a full moon? If Teruah is the first of the month, and the 10th of the month is Yom Kippurim, what's the 15th, which is Sukkah?
Wouldn't
that be a full moon?
Absolutely.
14 and a half days? Most of you can get full moon.
And you have to know about Moed Mikros when you look up things like that and you see it. You have to have some perspective there and know these things in order to connect all the dots. Because otherwise, you say, "What's that got to do with the seat of honor and the full moon?"
Right. So that then with the realization you're dealing with the maximum light of the moon at the time that Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, and Shavuah are fulfilled.
Doesn't that
provide some illumination to the nature of that garment? And and identifies the seat of honor? Because what happened on Pesach wasn't the blood of the Passover lamb sprinkled on the mercy seat. Isn't it even called the mercy seat?
Well, it was where it took place, where it took place.
Right.
Yeah,
what is it? So this is the mercy seat. This what we're talking about, the throne, the seat of honor of Dode, mercy seat. He sat on it. We get to sit on it.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Understatement, I realize, but still.
Yeah. So then we move past it to the next statement, and it is, and upon his considered advice and counsel and his sovereign authority to establish it and to sustain and support it with the means to exercise good judgment and justly resolve disputes and with righteousness from this time and evermore. So it begins with wa again, so it's a transition, wa in addition. And then it's Malacca. Now, you can translate Malacca kingdom if you wish. But you can also translate Malacca upon his considered advice and counsel and sovereign authority.
And Malacca, that's what it says.
Upon his reign, realm. Right. You know, I don't think that Doe's role is going to be as a king over a kingdom during the millennial Shabbat. I think it is more likely that it's Dode's considered advice and counsel as a sovereign authority. He is sovereign because he is the Son of God. God is the ultimate sovereign. He's the Son of God, makes him a sovereign authority. And it's about his reign and realm, because he was the only person really for the entire time of his kingdom to reign over and a unified Israel. So upon his considered advice and counsel of his supreme authority, of his reign, of his realm, by his kingdom, and on account of his thoughtful guidance and assistance, from Malak. Malak means to guide, to assist, to provide a message. to reign by providing considered and intelligent advice and instructions, directions, and counsel. To establish it, lakun, to appoint, fashion, and form it, to authenticate it and authorize it, to prepare and become steadfast, ready and supported, concluded and firm with it. Now, this is a verb, hifl, infinitive construct. Hifl means that the subject not only influences the object, but makes the object reflect his nature and reflect his interaction with the verb. The object becomes the secondary. Becomes the secondary subject. And the infinitive construct just says that this is irrespective of place or time. So upon his considered advice and counsel of his sovereign authority to establish it and to sustain it. Wahla ka'ad, hu. To renew and uphold it, ka'ad. To strengthen and make it secure. Refreshing it with the most favorable and nourishing substance. With the means to exercise, by the way, it's interesting here is that it in the Great Isaiah Scroll is masculine, and it in the hu versus he, hy versus huw in the Masoretic. The Masoretic, the pronoun is masculine, and it's feminine in the Masoretic text. So feminine, kingdom, malaka. Malachi, so you can tell that because it's Malach with the A after it. That's feminine. So the Masoretic text, we're strengthening and supporting the kingdom. But in the Great Isaiah Scroll, it's masculine. Guess what word is masculine? Keseh, the seat of honor, the mercy seat.
Okay.
So that's what's being established, that's what's being sustained and supported, is the mercy seat. Got a little thing, but it's significantly different. So it tells you that God's not into establishing and supporting the government, but instead into gaining and supporting the benefits and the attributes of that mercy seat, of the seat of honor where we sit right beside God.
That's really good. Well done.
A little subtle
well
thing.
Well done.
But nonetheless, it's important. That's one of the reasons I like languages that have feminine and masculine is because with English you wouldn't be able to identify
what it was.
But here you can tell there were two things that it could be sustaining and supported. And because it's masculine, you've eliminated the Malacca kingdom. And you have highlighted Keseh, which is the that adorning garment benefiting from the full moon and the seat of honor, the mercy seat. With the means to exercise good judgment and justly resolve disputes. Well, what is the mercy seat about? Is it not a tangible representation of the benefits of Pesach, Matzah, and the Bikurim? And isn't Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim the means that Yahweh established to justly resolve disputes? Ms. Fox?
Yes. Yeah.
All fits together then, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And what happens if you exercise good judgment regarding the means to exercise or to resolve disputes in connection with the mercy seat of Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim? Don't you become dedicated?
If you respond appropriately, then of course you get all the benefits of it.
And isn't the benefit tzedakah?
Yes.
Wasn't Job himself called tzedak by Yahweh?
Right.
Correct.
Called.
Perfect. Vindicated. Righteous. Tzedakah. Righteous. Correct, right, fair, acquitted, vindicated, upright, in accordance with the standard, receiving all the benefits with an abundant inheritance. You know, when it comes to being with Yahweh, I think there's only one thing that he can say of you that is better than Sadak or Sadaka. Sadaka is just the feminine of Sadak. Only one thing.
Oh, he is Chow.
Yeah, that's it.
We're good.
You got it. I like, you know, being called son is the only thing that would be better than being called righteous, correct, vindicated,
yeah,
acquitted.
That's a little closer relationship. Just your
honest,
your
blameless, innocent,
mm-hmm,
in accord with the state. Yeah.
It was good, but
Dode was called, yeah, Dode was
better.
Called both. Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. Sadaka is really, really good. I mean, if you're Sadaka, you're in.
You're in like Flint.
You're in like Flint. You're there. So I don't think there's any way to be Sadaka and not be his son or daughter.
Yeah,
but
you have to be a family member.
Yeah,
accept everything.
Yeah, right.
Of course.
But I personally just think being called, you know, God's kid. That is the best.
That's a wowie.
But Dode was called both Sadak. That's why he's so important, because he's the antidote for Christianity. If Dode is Sadak and he violated every aspect of the Torah, but he's Sadak because he applied the Torah, he observed it correctly, applied it correctly, benefited from it correctly, and is thereby vindicated by the Torah for those reasons, then it's the Torah that saved him. Not because he carried it out perfectly, not because he obeyed it, but because he understood it and acted upon it.
And that's another nail in the coffin of good old Sharon.
Yeah, and that's correct. And so he's going to sustain and support, and this is now the mercy seat,
mm-hmm,
the seat of honor, with the means to exercise good judgment and to justly resolve disputes, and with righteousness, being correct, fair, vindicating and acquitting, from this time, men ata,
mm-hmm,
and forevermore, wa ad olam. You know, if you wanted to think that, by the way, that ad was eternal, and now you see it with olam, and you realize, wait a minute,
this is forevermore.
Ad just means more or until, and it's
yes,
olam that's the word for
eternity.
Eternal.
Yeah.
Right. If God wanted to say eternal father, he would have written ad or ab for father. Olam. But he put olam here just to make sure that you'd be thinking.
Paying attention.
Correct.
That was a trick.
Yeah. Well, just because we have of saying, you know, I'm going to help you out here. If you're looking for reinforcement, here you go.
I knew some of us are slow.
You know, and by the way, there is a concluding statement to this.
Beautiful.
And the concluding statement is rather important, because guess whose name has not been mentioned yet? The only real name that's essential.
Yeah,
correct. The deep devotion and passion, the zeal and fervor, the strong desire to accomplish something special, the ardent love. In fact, kina can be rendered jealousy. Jealousy is a really positive term if you look at it as faithfulness in a relationship. Right. You know, you're not going to be good with your wife, Terry, deciding, you know what I think I want to do is spend my time equally with all the men on the block. Not going to go over well. You're in any loving relationship, you're zealous and jealous of your relationship. And Yahweh is with Yisrael. He is with Dode. He is with his covenant members. And that's why he says, you know, if you're going to be around other gods, you're not going to be in my presence. So kina is a very passionate term. Devotion and passion, zeal and fervor.
Jealousy, passion, for the sake of,
right.
Yeah.
Ardent love of Yahweh. Who did he call beloved?
Dode.
Dode. Who did he dearly love? Dode.
Dode, yeah.
Of the spiritual implements, the Shama, will make this happen. So it's Yahweh that's going to make this happen. So even if all the way through here you just forgot about all the conflicts, why it couldn't be Yosha.
Mm-hmm.
Yosha's not named, is he?
No, not here.
Yahweh is. Who's going to make this happen? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a promise there.
Yeah. And the promise is by Yah. Yeah, even if you didn't know that his name was Yahweh Saves, and you couldn't figure that part out, this is Yahweh.
Well, you still see Yahweh. What else could you, you know?
Yes. And they're
right there. And even if you don't pronounce it right, you still see Yahweh.
Right. So here is the final seven, the future seven.
Okay.
Got all the two sets of seven. Let's just flow the one into another. Here's just the recap of everything we've just gone over. For indeed, because truly and surely, emphasizing this statement and to show a contrast with what has come before, while conveying causation to reveal the reason he exists, and also demonstrating how these things may appear simultaneous, even to overlap, while in actuality they transpire in an entirely different time. A child, an ordinary boy, who grows up to become a young man, is born. He was conceived and brought forth through a woman impregnated by his father, arriving among us and near us. A son, a male descendant, the offspring of a mother and father, was provided and placed near us for a limited period of time. He was given for our benefit, was appointed and bestowed for us, and he was devoted to facilitating our approach. So then, with regard to the person being written about, the means to engage and endure, to be empowered and liberated, should we desire to learn from his mindset, was, is, and shall always exist as part of the continued succession of events which transpired upon his ridgeline and in conjunction with his repetitive work, the eagerness in which he pursued his calling early in life, and his passion to shoulder and not shirk responsibility. His designation, reputation, and renown was read, recited, and designated as, and should be invited and summoned as, was called out and welcomed as, was known and reckoned as, a counselor providing outstandingly brilliant advice, a consultant, directions and thought-provoking guidance for us to deliberate, which are extraordinarily insightful. An analyst who proposes the agenda and reveals the purpose of the marvelous plan which sets us apart. An advisor and mentor who speaks out and urges those who listen to follow the directions and thinking that he is presenting because it's reasonable, valuable, wonderful, empowering, even prophetic. A valiant and heroic individual with a prominent standing in the community of God, a powerful and courageous person who prevails on behalf of the Almighty, a champion confirming the influence and strengthening nature of the Mighty One, an eternal witness providing restoring and everlasting testimony, sharing evidence which is enduring and conveying information regarding the perpetual and continued existence of the Father. The one who conveys and represents the official position, the authorized and endorsed patron who acts and delivers the sanctioned means to prevail regarding reconciliation and restoration, salvation and companionship, restitution and redemption, peace and prosperity, satisfaction and favor, an association based upon mutual affection and friendship, delivering health and prosperity, contentment, and tranquility. Tremendously increasing the ability to learn about, and to the largest extent possible, greatly respond to the means to engage, providing an abundance of information while imparting instruction learned as a student, teaching how to become familiar with the guidance needed to accept the provision to endure, acting upon the means to be liberated, diligently studying and then explaining the particular pattern of behavior associated with the one, and then the who, what, why, and how that can be learned regarding the capacity to persist and persevere, growing on a scale of spatial dimensions as a disciple eager to learn from one who was taught by the best, who received extensive, clear, and compelling revelations, which prepared him to intelligently convey the mindset needed to probe and question the means to awe-inspiring enlightenment, an enormous empowerment. And so then, adding these things together, and as a result, reconciliation and restoration, complete satisfaction, the blessings of an entirely favorable circumstance, total contentment, overwhelming prosperity, affectionate companionship, and salvation are without end, never cease and cannot be negated, remaining unbounded and limitless before the throne and seat of honor, which is clothed in association with the high status and dignity of the empowering robes and royal authority of Dode, the beloved, and in conjunction with the light of the full moon, and therefore, Pesach, Matzah, Bikurim, and Sukkah. And upon his considered advice and intelligent counsel, as well as his sovereign authority, by his kingdom and on account of his thoughtful guidance and insightful assistance, to establish with it, authenticated, authorized, and sustained, supporting and upholding it with the most favorable and nourishing substance, with the means to exercise good judgment and justly resolve disputes, depicting how the judge will decide each case, remaining completely fair and yet consistent and with righteousness, therefore being correct, right, fair and just, acquitting and vindicating in a manner which is honest and in full accord with the prescribed standard, providing the beneficiaries with an abundant inheritance from this time, coinciding with this declaration, and forevermore, throughout all time. The deep devotion and passion of Yahweh, of the spiritual implements, and his strong desire to accomplish something special, even his ardent love, will make this happen, fashioning this result, and performing in this way. Yeshaya 9, 6, and 7. And thus begin the final chapter of life on earth. Yeah, you take something that is obviously wrong and misdirected and contradictory, turn it into something that is transformational. You know, something that...
You know, to the people...
Overwhelming.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, no, I just said... You could not hear anything from God more important than what is just said, so long as you know what he's actually saying.
Well, to that, you know, you don't need somebody to be here and just say, boy, that's really good, Craig, or that's right and everything. And the reason I do most of this is this is not creative writing. Over the last 11 years, I've seen you extrapolate more and more and more because you understand more and more and more, and you have more depth to each one of these words, and you put it more into your translations. But I can honestly say on this one, as so many before it, when I go through everything I can find, there's nothing in anything you said that can't be supported.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not my argument. First of all, I don't see anything wrong with extrapolation. I think extrapolation...
No, I understand. You're saying we have a lot of words...
In this particular case, there's nothing here that's extrapolated.
No.
Now, I will tell you, what we just read is amplified. Amplified means that rather than looking at a singular word, like the Torah is nice, shalom means peace, we're going to amplify our translation so that it reflects...
Right. What else does it mean?
It's like taking a microscope and amplifying the image of a cell so that you can really see its full dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
So this represents the full dimension of each of these words. But there's no extrapolation here.
Yeah, but it's quite... it's amazing because when you want to... When you're reading this and you want to embrace this stuff, you know, you have a right, or you should want to check it all out for yourself to find out. And by George, you won't be disappointed.
No.
It really is. It says all those things. as you was reading it, I'm looking at different notes back and forth and back and forth, and I'm saying, yeah, that's there, that's there, that's there, and everything we did when you broke it down before, there would,
so why
wasn't
Kirk,
anything. Yeah.
Why, Kirk, did it take 2,700 years to render it accurately?
Nobody got out of the foxhole and did it. I mean, once you got out a bunch of us, follow suit.
Obviously, it's been 2,700 years. This statement has been known for 2,700 years. The Masoretic text of it is accurate.
Yeah.
What did we find? One pronoun that was misidentified?
Mm-hmm.
Masoretic text is accurate. Great Isaiah scroll is complete in this regard.
Yeah.
This is knowable.
Yeah.
Why did it take?
This is on display in Jerusalem.
Right.
And nobody can
know. 700 years. That is correct. You know, they got this new museum of the Bible. Why?
You talk about the one of the chicken man.
Yeah. You know. Why is it that in all of this time, nobody has realized that Bible means with the Lord? Yeah. And that it is indistinguishable from the Hebrew word Babel, which means to intermix and therefore to confuse.
Yeah.
And that is the nature of Christianity. It's a conglomeration of pagan religions under different names, designed to confuse people. And the book that they say is the Word of God is Babel, the whore of Babylon, to confuse. It's not hard to figure this stuff out. You know, ba is the preposition. It means with.
Mm-hmm.
Bel is the name of the Babylonian god. It's
Bel and Bel.
Written
Bel
throughout
and Bel.
The Torah prophet. Oh. Yeah, Bel became Baal with the Canaanites and with the in Hebrew. Bel and Baal, same word. I mean exactly the same thing. The Lord. And every place we turn, the Lord is condemned. It's Satan. So it is amazing, Kirk, that while there isn't anything we did here that required any fresh revelation, any unusual insights, any special skill. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All we did here is look up the words, examine them as thoroughly and as closely as we could, with an open mind, being resolutely rational, and clearing our minds of religious clutter so that we could render these words in a manner that's consistent with the context and Yahweh's nature, realizing there's only one person that's being discussed here, and that's Dod, David. That's all we did.
Mm-hmm.
We just gave the words a fair shake.
Sure.
I mean, it wasn't easy. It took a lot of time.
Yeah. Far more on yours, on your part.
The first time I did this 15 years ago, I got it wrong. I looked it up in the in your basic lexicons, and and you look up the first so-called definition of each word is the word that's found in every Bible translation. And so, if you're not alerted to the fact that this was all specifically designed to deceive people. They wanted a big government. They wanted governments approved. They wanted it to be their Jesus.
Yeah, and they wanted endorsement from Jesus.
Right. They wanted Jesus to be Almighty God. That's what they wanted. And so, if you're not careful, if you haven't done a lot of translate, you might be fooled to think that Gabor means Almighty. Yeah, but it doesn't. You might be fooled to think that Eternal Father could be provided by a preposition that means until. But if you translate it Ed 200 times, and you know that it's written the same way, and it means a restoring an eternal witness, providing everlasting testimony, you're not going to be fooled. So it takes some time. You have to become familiar with what the words mean and what they're used. How many times have we come across Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
So when you see it, and, you know, aren't we naturally clued into when we see the MI concept, which is from the MY in Hebrew, that before an important verb, aren't we clued in based upon mikra?
Yeah.
To recognize, well, this is a way of distinguishing the verb such that we ponder and think about and we question the implications of these things.
Well, I've got in a total habit now of every word has to, if it's not already a verb, you have to look up the verb. And I even look up the root. Mikra, you know, you go to Sarah, but if you go to the SAR, or SR, it means turning the head by teaching, instruction, and guidance. I mean...
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, and you ought to look, you know, like I've been translating Yeshayahu 10. Mm-hmm. And Yeshayahu 10, there's a lot of names. I mean, a lot of names of places. So if you don't look up where those places have been mentioned before, mm-hmm. well, then you've got no chance to understand why they're there. So if you want to look up Miss Sarah, well, don't you think... the first thing you ought to do is say, okay, I want to look it up and see where else it's used so I get it right, and you find out, who am I? There's nowhere else that it's used.
Well, this is it.
This is it. Yeah, and then you know, you're in an entirely different mindset in terms of understanding it.
You know, I don't know how you can get government out of that.
No, I don't know.
Way.
Of course, you know, we've talked about the fact that if you did get government out of it, it's a lay-down hand.
Because, well, you think it's a lose-lose.
Yosha did not have the government on his shoulder. And it was the government, Rome, crucified.
He's not in favor of governments. I mean, when a guy talks about governments, religion, schemes, of military schemes and economic schemes all day long, from back front to back of the Torah.
Right, it's about the Assyrian and the Assyrian influence and being head of the government of Assyria, the biggest influence on it. And it's all negative, man. All negative. And finally God said, you know, finally my people are going to stop relying.
It's just so sad that it takes so long. I mean, they should be coming out in droves. At least Israel should.
Yeah. Yeah, it should.
Anyway, but I know that ain't the way it works. He's already told us how it works, how it's going to work. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's I think the key thing here to take away beyond the fact that this is a profound insight as to how we go about shaping our relationship with Yahweh and how we come to know him, and the answer is learn through Dode. That while these insights haven't been conveyed until now, it's been 2,700 years. Kirk, you know, I appreciate what you're doing, and I have fun doing this, but quite honestly, there is nothing we have done here that is special. We just looked up the words.
You know where the teacher says, go to the dictionary and look it up, and you go, teacher, just tell me what it means. You know, So go over there and look it up. I'm telling you, it's worth the trip.
We looked it up. That is right. That's all we really did is look it up, and we had the right attitude.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. Rather than us celebrating the fact that, you know, we've sharing this in a way that for the first time makes sense and we can benefit from it, we almost want to lament what's been wrong with humanity for the last 2,700 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, guys, come on. Why can you be telling me this?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you tell me this
exactly.
10 years ago, 20 years ago, or something? Not 10 years ago. That's when I ran across you. But
yeah.
What was all those PhDs
right.
for? You couldn't tell me.
Yeah. But yeah, we've got more than 10,000 pages of translations and analysis, and there isn't a single thought, not a single insight, not a single word that couldn't have been derived and ascertained by anyone willing to do the same thing. Just read what's there. Look. Look up the words.
Look up the words. You got a dictionary?
And think it
through. Got a lexicon?
Right. Right. Yeah. Think it through. You know, and you have a big library. I've got one as well, and I use a lot of electronic tools. But there are these lexicons. Most of them are available online, free.
Yeah.
You know, they're interlinears online, free.
Yes.
There's Hebrew English dictionaries online, free. There's Hebrew grammar aids online,
free. All kind of word searches you can get. Look up
right.
each word.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
You can do it that way as well.
And
in combination with is what I do.
Right.
I
and you know there are
open
right. And if you know if you want to know the history of some place, you can Google it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, there are the tools to do everything you need to do to understand this. It's just that no one wants to put in the effort. And those that might be willing to put in the effort don't want to go where these words lead, because these words lead directly to Yahweh and directly away from the caricature known as Jesus Christ. They lead to Yahweh via his beloved Son, Dod. Yeah, there's a reason that Yahweh called him my beloved son. There's a reason he said that he was Tzedak. And he's confirming all of that right here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that this is as interesting and as profound as anything we've done so far. This analysis of Yeshayah 9, 6, and 7.
I think it's way powerful. I'm just amazed.
Yeah, wait till you're now in... And soon you'll have it as a complete chapter. But meeting the Assyrian, wow, what a thrill that was. And Yeshayah 10.
Yeah, I've only just begun that, but that's, wow.
Yeah, meeting the Assyrian.
It's really the same story, the same technique, the same God doing it, and it just confirms it unbelievably.
Yeah, it does. It is actually, you know, we're going through Yeshayah because I want to end in Yeshayah 14, where Hasatan is named and is associated with Babylon, and he explains his role in religion, that he wants to be worshipped above the Most High. That's why he uses the title the Lord, and he is the Lord God Almighty of Christianity, is Allah in Islam. He tells you that is his purpose. Well, that is repeated in Yeshayah 10, which you wouldn't be surprised, it's only four chapters prior to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn specifically that Satan is an implement. And you're told explicitly what Satan's mindset is, why he's doing these things. It's really a thorough and complete explanation of how Satan intervenes in human affairs and why he does so.
It explains a lot about the Torahless one as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you see him right there.
Right. Explains a lot about Paul, a lot about the Torahless one, a lot about the Assyrian is Satan, is the adversary. And you might say, well, I thought he was Babylonian. Here's the whore of Babylon. Between Assyria and Babylon.
And nothing. It's the same confusion.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, too, is that when Yeshayah 10 was written, while it's not about him, Sargon was the king of Assyria. You know what Sargon is best known for?
Refresh me.
Change the name of the Assyrian god. The Assyrian head god was Asher. That's how you get it.
Oh, so Baal? Or Baal?
Yeah, Baal, yeah. Yes.
So he adopted the Babylonian
name, the Lord. He's the one that renamed the Assyrian god so that it was the same as the Babylonian god as the Lord.
Yeah, and the Christian church changed to Yahweh's name, the Lord. Look at Strong's.
Yes, exactly.
Don't believe me? Look it up. I think it's 3060 or 3068.
Yeah.
Yes. Look it up.
Look it up. Yeah, look it up. Yeah. 7,000 times.
7,000 times. Makes you want to scream.
It's their statement etched in stone. It says that, negating my name is unforgivable.
Yeah,
unforgivable.
Yeah, that is really frightening.
Yeah,
it's bad enough that he says it, and you shouldn't do it, but he says, I ain't going to forgive you, period. And there's no recourse if you keep this up.
Right. Yeah, it's the third statement on the first of the two tablets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You caused my name to be for naught. My name, Yahweh, to be for naught. It's unforgivable. That's bad.
Well,
because this is what it means. I mean, I want people to have an appreciation of this. If you are the victim of religion, if you're not judged, there is no forgiveness. There is no condemnation. You've just squandered your life. If you are not forgiven, then you are being judged. If you are being judged and are not forgiven, there's only one place.
One place you can go. Wind up. Incarceration.
Right.
Sheol.
So by not being forgiven, it means that you're going to Sheol, as opposed to being the victims of religion and your soul simply ceasing to exist. So it replacing Yahweh's name with the Lord ensures that individual with eternal condemnation.
And yeah, that makes sure things go up my spine. You just go, oh, God.
Yeah. Why would you do that? And every Christian pastor is guilty of doing that.
Get on your knees and praise to the Lord. Go to church.
In fact, the Bible is named after that. Baal, with the Lord.
They're all with Baal. Right. That Old Testament with that dead God.
Yeah. You know that Yeshua 10? God says, I'm not going to forgive those that write Scripture.
Yeah, I got that. I read that, yes.
Wow.
Wow. New Testament. Wow.
Just what you're doing today. All Scripture is inspired by God and used for correction and teaching. Well, guess who wrote that? Paul.
Paul.
Scripture is a Latin word. The Latin word
from the scriptoriums.
Yeah, from the scriptoriums, exactly. Yeah, which is the scriptoriums would have done Homer proud. It was the land of make-believe.
Well put. That is absolutely true.
I'm happy. I'll send you a tomorrow. Just to get a little bit further in it, but I'll send you tomorrow a rewrite of 18 with the warning that I told you about. That Terry got reading that long paragraph where I described the megalomaniacs of history and was pretty disgusted by it, and I understand it's rough. And it turned my stomach to look it up and to read it, but it was important to convey the information, but not everybody is going to want to read it.
Yeah, it needs to be there.
I have a different view on this kind of stuff. I want to know. I really want to know it. But I wrote the preface just before the show began, based upon what you had suggested from Terry, which is, if you're squeamish, don't read this. And if you already know that man is not basically good, there's nothing to be gained by reading this. So there's an appropriate warning on it. But so those things have been added, and but throughout that chapter, Kirk, I really do cop an attitude. I mean, it's God brings up his feces, excrement, reference again.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much in your face, that whole chapter. And then to recognize that you're dealing with the Assyrian is in fact Satan. Yeah, that's a, that is not what you would call the uplifting chapter. It really is for me, though. I mean, I've got a confession. The reason that having the opportunity to meet Satan and get to know him is so uplifting to me is because I understand how he works in religion. And one of the things that God was really good about is he constantly uses the reference in 10:10 to Yahweh of the Shabba, of the regime of spiritual implements. And he's really clear that the Assyrian ain't nothing but an implement. There's lots of them.
Confirms.
He is just an implement. He is one of them. So you're not going to blow it out of proportion.
Yeah.
You're not going to. He's just a tool. And as a tool, you aren't going to be afraid of him. And so you want to know how this tool is wielded. Because it explains the whole concept of religion and the concept of government. So it's
he came really with you and with armed with what Dode wrote. Man can't get you. Whoever he inspires to get you, they can't get you. So that should be very comforting. And especially as we get nearer and nearer to the call.
Yeah, don't fear, don't revere.
No.
Yeah, anything that
give me respect at all.
Yeah, don't give him any respect. Don't give him any fear. Don't let that stuff bother you. No reason to let it bother you.
No.
So, yeah, it's really, really good stuff. All right, my friend. Well, I'll work on it more and get it to you.
Where you want to be on this show next week?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I really, to be fair, we should return back to chapter 9 of observations and sync up this program that's what we should do and sync the two programs up. It's easier on our whole mindset and preparation. But once we finish this meeting with the Assyrian, we really come to know this is Satan and how he operates. It's going to be pretty hard not to want to go there.
That's why we're here on this one.
Yes.
Hey, look,
it's going to be hard.
If you want to know how to do it, you go to JB's website and you start reading. Go anywhere you want in there, and it's great.
Really hard not to go there.
Okay. We'll give it to college, old college try.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not what we're
show, and then we'll get into this jerk.
Unfortunately, we're not trying to be perfect here. We're giving our best effort to sharing what we've learned and to share it as enthusiastically as we can. And we do this for our own enjoyment and edification. And we it's like the most beautiful rainbow and sunset. It's more beautiful if you have a chance to share it with somebody.
Absolutely. Now I have no qualms whatsoever about you going from here to here to here to here. Just let me know what you're doing so I won't sound too ignorant as we approach it, so I can do a little bit of look up because it takes a little while.
There are things that you have to take in chronological order.
Yeah,
not everything.
No. Yeah. Well, remember, you've got to
build, on the. Go ahead.
This is a book we're covering. It's almost like a book report on the shows and sharing highlights and stuff and certain in-depth things and so forth. But the whole thing is to write it, get it in writing, number one.
Correct.
So that people can sit down and really digest it the way they did the audio and questioning Paul and Intro to God and so on. So, I mean, that's there. And people are printing that now and putting out.
Yeah, these four books are not meant to be a dissertation in the sense of conducting novel research. It's a book report.
Mm-hmm.
The book is Yahweh's Torah, Prophet Islam, the reporting on them. Yeah, it's just this is a very elaborate book report.
Yeah.
More in keeping with the thesis where you review existing literature and you try to put the pieces together so that it's understood more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a thesis than a dissertation. Now, I think it has the purpose of a dissertation. On a PhD dissertation, you have to advance the knowledge of humanity.
Knowledge
of
something new.
You have to contribute. Right, you have to contribute. Well, I think we've come up with 500 insights.
Plenty of that.
that, yeah, that advance the knowledge of humanity, but not because they're because we've come up with
it. Here.
They were just always there. We just noticed.
Yeah. Well, where do you think these books will have the most impact, other than the small group of people who come to know them and read them? And of course, that's us, and it's obviously wonderful to us. But I'm getting more and more thinking about the Jerusalem and the end times.
Yeah, it's all.
And they most of them will be able to speak English. You know, and
yeah, I was
both,
really
so
happy
could look
to
it up
stumble
easier.
Into this, and we figured it out, and he's happy to have us, but. We cease to be Goyim and become Israel.
Yeah. So it's just
and he's
adopted
brothers Israel.
Staying here.
He's concerned. His concern is Israel. He's coming back for Israel. He loves Israel. His promises are Israel. He's coming back to Israel for Israel. And so, and they will change prior to his return. I'm just hoping that what we are doing will be play some role in changing the mindset of Israel. By the way, it's a small number. God says, even a young child.
Even then, still very small.
Yeah, even a young child could count the remainder. He says, I don't care if Israel was as numerous as the sand on the sea. It's just going to be a small remainder. And that small remainder is so small, it can be counted and written down. By a small child.
Well, that was the passage with Jerusalem and who survives. That's tiny.
Tiny.
God said it was,
It's right here, and it's part of Yeshaya 10. He reinforces that.
I had no idea about Yeshaya scroll being this much. I knew it was a big scroll.
This much information.
I didn't realize it was a big deal. This is a big deal.
And I really didn't have any idea that so much of it was about the past.
It's all about Yosha,
But that's not the case. It's about religion and condemning religion and politics and militarism. And that's been the whole theme, is God... Mm-hmm. condemning government and politics and militarism and religion. Right?
Yeah, this is an opportunity to say that either. No.
Right. He says it over and over again. That is the core to all of this. That's why Dode's testimony was so important.
Talk about anti-religious fellow.
Oh, and by the way, one of the things that Yeshaya 10 has in it is I have a personal wish, and I said, my personal wish on the one to a million things that are important is a one, but it is, it's important to me. I would like to be one of the witnesses against the likes of Paul and and Hadrian and these and Muhammad. God's really clear. He says, that he's going to send his malach against those that the adversary has misled and used. But along with them are going to be his most resilient and informative, most blunt witnesses, the individuals. And he says that they're there because he says, I've illuminated them. I'm the one that caused them to reflect my light. But, they're good. We're right there.
Boy, what a scroll.
It's really good stuff. So, we get to, so long as I'm reading it right and that, we may not be by the time that this all happens. There could be, for example, we know for certain that Elia and Enoch are going to be the most steadfast, straightforward.
Right there in Jerusalem,
brilliant witnesses, so we aren't going to hold a candle to them.
We watch.
You're not talking about them, and we may just be watching. But it seems to suggest that we'll be participatory, and it's God's nature to have his flawed
People
participate. Yeah. So it's certainly in his nature. He's he is not going to be disappointed that we're not as good a witness as he is. I'm not expecting it. So,
cool.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I will be with you next week.
All right. I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.